This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
And Monday morning is here. Hello, everybody. We are missing a voice yet again. I'm Ben Higgins. To my left is our executive producer and imaging director, Paul Reindl. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing better than apparently Stephen Woods is, although I don't know that anyone's going to believe me because I have no credibility anymore when it comes to telling people that Woodsy is sick. Because last time, of course, a week ago Friday, he made me lie and say that he was sick on the air and tell all the tier ones a massive fib so he could go surprise his dad for his 70th birthday, and took the family on a secret flight to Austin and then got there. And since his dad and mom listened to the show every single morning, he knew if I was honest, they would know something was up. So the only way we could figure out how to get around that was for you and I to play along and pretend that Woods was sick last Friday. But this time, I do believe he is actually under the weather and sick and will not be joining us for the remainder of the program. So it's you and me, Paulie. Good morning.
I thought about that. Good morning, Ben. I thought about that as well driving in. I'm like, nobody's going to believe us. Not a single person is going to believe us that we woke up to a text from our old pal Woods at, just before 4 a.m. And the text actually says, "Fellas, hope it's not leaving you in lurch, but I've got a cluster headache that has effed me up all night. I'm going to take a sick day. Love you guys. I'm sorry."
I am indeed left in lurch at the moment, Paulie. I don't know about you, but yeah, I feel left in lurch.
Look, we you know, you can't be mad at the guy. People get sick. People get hurt. I hope he's doing better. I hope he feels better soon. But there's no way that waking up to that text is not being left in the lurch.
Now, I'm not sure exactly. I've been kind of doing some Googling on cluster headaches, and I don't know how different they are from migraines. But and I don't know if he's actually been, you know, officially diagnosed with them, or this is a self-diagnosis, but they sound pretty miserable. You know, sharp stabbing or burning pain behind the eye can last anywhere from 15 minutes to 3 hours. And usually occurs like once every other day for like 3 weeks to like several months.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That sounds absolutely horrible.
Is it possible Woods is out for the rest of the season with cluster headaches? Are we not going to see him again until November? Because that's how long these things last.
Yeah, the 97.3 The Fan announces that Stephen Woods has been moved to the 60-day IL. Sam Levitt has been recalled from Padres pre- and post-game to do mornings.
I wouldn't mind seeing a little Sammy, obviously, in the mornings, but hopefully Woods gets better. Now, I was seeing what potentially causes cluster headaches, and according to the Mayo Clinic, experts don't know what causes cluster headaches. The pattern suggests a link to the area of the brain that helps run the body's biological clock, known as the hypothalamus, but triggers include the most common trigger for cluster headaches is drinking alcohol.
Oh.
Now, I did see a bit on social media on Friday night that Woods went out had a few with his friends. And I was dying to get the story this morning on what he did on Friday and what hijinks and adventures he got up to while his wife Hannah was at the Elton John show, I believe. Woods went out with friends, and he doesn't do that very often, but I could tell by some of the pictures, Pauly, that he posted that there might have been a couple of drinks imbibed over the evening. Now, I don't know, did you get any of the story at all?
I really didn't. It was a pretty quiet weekend amongst the three of us. I didn't hear a whole lot from either of you guys, and I didn't really have a whole lot going on myself. So we weren't super talkative over the weekend. I did see one or two pictures, and I think he said it was like a buddy was moving away or something. It was one last final hurrah on Friday night. Did not know that a hangover or a night out drinking could lead to cluster headaches that would impact you on Monday morning.
But yeah, I mean, I know he got to his Little League games on Saturday and everything. So if there was an effect, it was a delayed effect that waited until the start of the work week and not over the weekend to hit Woods. But I was counting on him, you know, to tell us all the stories and get you know, what Hannah told him about Elton John. I heard it was fantastic. My trainer went and said he was actually terrific. Elton John, the voice still sounds really good. You know, he needed some help around stage because of his problem with his eyes, mm-hmm. which he's losing his sight, which is really sad. And my trainer said she went or was talking to an ophthalmologist about what's wrong with Elton John's eyes. She said it's a parasitic amoeba that is essentially eating away his eye, and there's no cure for it, which is really awful. I mean, just awful sounding, but apparently he sounded great. You know, they couldn't go through every single one of his songs, which is probably a bummer if you have a favorite and like he didn't get to it just because he has so many in his catalog.
But he's not on tour. Like
this was a one-off,
like his only show in America this year or whatever. Like at least that's already scheduled. This was not a tour where you could go and look like, all right, he played LA 2 nights ago. Here's what the set list looked like. Nothing like that. So yeah, with a catalog like that for Elton John, you really got to whittle it down, I guess.
So yeah, I heard good things. She also went to James Taylor at the Shell over the weekend. Apparently, he did a bunch of shows. She said he sounded a little more on the elderly side compared to Elton John, but still beautiful venue and a very nice evening on Saturday. So I didn't do any of this myself, like you, Pauly. I did. I did very little this weekend. I watched sports. I did Mother's Day. I procured, you know, presents and stuff for my mom and my mother-in-law, and Shelley and I put together. We thought it would be cool, instead of doing the usual, you know, flowers and card or chocolates, we put together charcuterie boards for our mom and our moms, and then delivered them on Sunday morning. You'd have like a little Sunday nosh throughout the day. You can just enjoy your cheeses and nuts and meats and crackers, and they both seem to enjoy that. So something a little bit different. She puts them together. So that's what I did Saturday. I went a bunch of shopping and then got that ready. We got it Sunday morning. I went and delivered them on Sunday, and then came back and watched a very disappointing Padres game yesterday, and then all of a sudden my weekend was like over, and it's like, okay, I guess I didn't do a ton this weekend.
Well, we did have two fun baseball games on Friday. Well, Friday was mostly fun. We'll get into that probably in our 7 o'clock hour. It was mostly fun. Wasn't expecting to see Robert Suarez on Friday night, but we did.
Kind of glad that he got in though, because otherwise he would have had the entire weekend off
right.
And probably be getting rusty by this point. So it worked out for the best.
Saturday was
crazy.
An absolutely bonkers game. There's so much to get into with Saturday's game. And yesterday was one of those games where I go, you know what? I kind of felt before the game even started, I go, I don't have a great feeling about today. And I couldn't really care less about Sunday's game. I was just thinking, if I'm Mike Schilt, I just want everybody to get on that plane, get on the bus, get to the airport, and get on that plane healthy, and just get home and call a 6-3 road trip pretty damn successful. You wanted to get the sweep, but I understand that it just may not have been in the cards.
Yeah, you do feel like you gave up one. As bad as the Rockies were playing, so poorly that even after a win, they fired manager Bud Black. You do feel like you let one get away, Merrill. And
had they won 4-3 on Saturday, I think yesterday's loss stings a little bit more.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it stings more because you won by so many. But that is baseball. You know, the randomness that the team with the worst record in the league can beat the team that had, at least in, going into yesterday, the best record in all of baseball. You won't see that almost ever in football or even basketball. It's pretty rare, but in baseball, it's absolutely almost certainly going to happen. When you play a team 13 times, you are not going to sweep the entire season series. You're going to go on the road. You're going to lose at least one or two of those road games. Hopefully, you take care of most of the business at home. I mean, Padres go 10-3, 11-2 against the Rockies. I will not be mad at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
But to do that, of course, you have to lose twice or three times over the course of the season. And, you know, that was, you know, probably one of them that's just going to happen. And, you know, Nick Pivetta's struggles, which, you know, they talked a little bit about going into the game, continued at Coors Field, which has been an absolute nightmare venue for him. But we'll talk about everything that happened over the weekend, the good pitching performances and the bad coming up this morning. I want to go back quickly, though, to Saturday night, because of that game, not yesterday's game, but because of that game, my social media mentions were just an absolute nightmare over the weekend.
Because of Saturday's game.
Because I thought I fairly harmlessly tweeted after Saturday night, just a fact, just one of my general fact tweets that I like to say. With the Tigers and Dodgers both losing, the Padres will reclaim the best winning percentage in MLB tonight. I thought it was a fairly benign, hey, cool, Padres back on top. You know, who knows how long it'll last, but just throw it out there. It is a factual thing. I don't know what Dodger website or fan board got a hold of this, but for the next, you know, whatever it's been, 36 hours since the end of that game, all I have gotten is dozens and dozens of tweets about how I start the parade and, oh, you know, Padre fans celebrating. And I mean, just, you know, quote tweets and mentions about that tweet as though that I was trying to make some sort of prediction. Now that the Padres have the best record in baseball, it's over for every other team. They will never lose another game. They will storm to a World Series title. I was just pointing out that earlier in the season, Padres had the best record in baseball. They went on their, you know, kind of mini slump, lost that title to the Tigers and the Dodgers for a while, and now got it back for one night. Of course, the Dodgers won yesterday. The Padres lost, and so now the Dodgers have the best record in baseball, and the Padres have the second best record in all of baseball. That will happen over the course of the season, but Dodgers fans get so up in arms about what I thought was, I mean, as innocuous of a tweet as I could possibly send.
Yeah, I just
in the situation,
you got crushed.
I mean,
and I mean,
there's a lot of likes on the tweet too, but I mean, it just absolutely got.
I think it's
out of hand.
A case of fool me once,
May
shame
champs,
on you.
Hang the banner. I mean,
fool me 47 times, shame on me.
I mean, I don't think I did anything wrong though. Do you
but
think I
you
did
know,
wrong,
Ben? You know they're lurking. They're waiting for anything to use.
It's not. It's
they're
not
in the
something
chat right
use,
now.
Though.
I promise you.
It's not something to use. I'm not. It's not. Again, it wasn't a prediction. You know, if I had added at the end, but the Padres will probably lose tomorrow, which I was probably thinking at the time when I tweeted it. Would that have changed anything for everybody? I have no idea.
Well, you better hope they win tonight, bud.
I think it's a sign, and Diesel points it out in our chat. I think it's a sign that Dodgers fans are a little bit worried right now.
What do they have to be worried
nothing,
about?
Nothing. They
though.
Don't. But everyone kind of said the Dodgers are so good. They are so much better than everybody else. They're going to run away with the division.
Yeah, they have the National League All-Star team.
They're going to challenge for the best record in baseball history. You know, they're thinking like 120 wins is within reach. And I don't disagree
I mean,
with that take.
You picked up guys like Roky Sasaki and Blake Snell over the offseason. Like, what could possibly go wrong this
year? Of course,
year?
You know, Snell has barely pitched at all and is on the injured list. Glasnow is on the injured list. Oh. Roky has struggled.
What?
And yet they're still on pace for, I think, 108 victories after winning yesterday. So, I mean, that's struggling for the Los Angeles Dodgers that they're still on pace for 108 wins. I don't think they really should be overly worried, but it doesn't look like what maybe some of them hoped. And it was going to be such a dominating team that they were going to jump out by, you know, 10-game lead by the time, you know, the middle of May had arrived, and it would be cruising for the rest of the season. Not just the Padres, but the Giants, the Diamondbacks went toe-to-toe with the Dodgers over the weekend and split four games. I think Dodgers fans are realizing that the NL West is not going to be an absolute pushover this year, that they are going to get a lot of competition from, you know, three of the four other teams all season long, and they're going to have to actually play and fight for it, which is the way it should be. But I think some of them are like, this is not what we signed up for. This is not what we expected with a massive record payroll, spending, you know, over $1 billion in the offseason. We shouldn't have to worry about the Diamondbacks and the Giants and the Padres all summer long. Isn't that what we bought? A little peace of mind, a little relaxation over the summer, that we're not going to look in the rearview mirror and see, oh yeah, virtually tied in the standings, half a game up, half a game back, a game up, all season long. But that's essentially, you know, where we're at with the Padres and the Dodgers right now.
It just goes to show, this is a very tough game. It's a very long season, and a lot can happen, and it takes a lot of things to break your way just to get into the playoffs, let alone go on a run. It almost sounds like something San Diego fans that we would say, because it does. There's a part of me that feels, at least, you're like, wait. The best era of Padres baseball, like over a multi-year span, you're telling me we can't even be favorites to win the division? Like, of course that's the case. I feel the same way about my beloved alma mater, San Diego State. We got invited to the Pac-12? Of course it's when the Pac-12 is the most irrelevant it's ever been, and it's not the same, and nobody cares. Like, that just seems like fitting. So they sound like Padres fans right now, those Dodger fans that are complaining.
Yeah, you make the wish, but the genie is going to give you everything you wanted, but it's not going to be exactly what you thought it was going to be. Oh, yeah, you're in the Pac-12 now, San Diego State. Yeah, haha, it's not
really
the Pac-12.
You're going to have the highest payroll you've ever had in franchise history. You're going to have superstars galore, and you're going to be fighting for second place.
But, you know, what I think some of these Dodgers fans fail to realize is that having the highest payroll in baseball means that you can survive the loss of Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow and other, you know, pitching injuries, and have a bunch of guys on the injured list from your bullpen, and still be at or near the top of the standings in the middle of May. Other teams, if they lost that, you know, quality of starting pitching and those bullpen arms, they'd be lucky to be 500 at this point. They'd probably be like, hey, we're a few games under 500, but we'll get our guys back. So we have a little change that we've made in the mornings. It was really a Woods design change, and we will explain it.
Yes.
Right after a check of traffic here on 97.
We'll be right back.
3 the Fan. We're not going anywhere. Don't leave anybody. So if you've been listening here in 2025, normally we'll throw to traffic at the end of
for the last 6 years.
First segment, or for the last 6 years. And then we'll come back and you know, set the menu for the program. Then we'll get into our Padres crap up, as the case is, at the bottom of the hour. But Woods, for the last couple of weeks, has been wearing Adam out, going, I just don't feel like foreplay lasts long enough. I get rolling. We're finally getting into the groove, and then all of a sudden, Ben's tossed into traffic, and we got to take a break. And
then it's a 5-minute commercial break, yeah, and then kind of a short segment, and you don't really want to, like, tease more foreplay goofiness.
Yeah, we just didn't want to break it up right in the middle with, you know, some half story that then has to be finished at the other side of the break. So after a bunch of you know, just how Woods is. You know, when he has his mind set on something, he will make Adam's life, your life, my life, pretty much miserable until he gets his way. So, you know, I talked to Adam about it. Adam was actually like, okay, we can make this work. And we have decided, starting today, that foreplay is going to be a little bit longer, and we're going to change our breaks around a little bit. So
we're basically commercial-free for the first 30 minutes every morning.
Yeah, when we get started.
And then we'll take a 5-minute break.
Big old segment, and then we come right back and talk Padres baseball most days with our grap-up or our crap-up, depending on how the team did. So this is Woods' time to really lean into it.
Explore the space.
What he likes to do, take off on different tangents, you know, talk about his day, his weekend, his family, Little League, everything that's going on. It's really his strength.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, here we are on the first day.
First day. I'll be honest. It was one of the absolute first things I thought of, because I thought of it yesterday when I was getting a little prep work done on the show, and I noticed, why does everything look different? I'm like, oh, we're going until 6:30 before our first break tomorrow. That's right. That should be fun. That should be good. I almost reminded you guys.
I totally had forgotten until you showed up this morning and said, A little worried about, of course, this is our first extended foreplay. And, of course, the guy who wanted it, the guy who begged for it and asked for it, is not here this morning to carry all the, you know, the heavy lifting that he does during the segment. So here we are, Paul.
Yeah.
Enjoyable, isn't it?
We got 7 more minutes.
That's crazy. See, now it'll be our only break, essentially, this hour. We'll do the one break, and then we'll come back with a long block of Padres, and then we'll get to the top of the hour, and then we'll get back
to off and rolling.
Kind of more of our usual schedule with our normal features. Well, I guess I can still set the menu here at this point and let you know what we have coming up.
And I need a little advice after set the menu.
All right, at the program today, we'll talk Padres baseball. Obviously, 3 games to get to, a win, a huge win, and a disappointing loss. We'll start, of course, backwards in reverse with the disappointing loss from yesterday at 6:35 and get into it. Other Padres news and notes from over the weekend. We can talk a little soccer. SDFC with another good win on the road this weekend as they went to St. Louis, got a 2-1 victory. Wave suffered an excruciating draw. And we can talk about that as well. Basketball playoffs continue. There's been a lot of blowouts. There was another one last night. We're at 41-point game at halftime. I'm waiting for... I mean, there's been some good games, but I've been really waiting for the playoffs to kind of kick in and just doesn't feel like they totally have. So I don't know how much basketball we'll get into. It's actually a big week in football. The schedule release is coming out this week if you are an NFL fan, including...
Are you ready for some football?
They did announce that the very first game of the season will be Cowboys-Eagles on that Thursday night. And they will also announce all the international games tomorrow, which is including, I believe, the second game of the season will be that Friday night in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
That's right.
Is rumored to be Chiefs-Chargers. We know that the L.A. Chargers are hosting that game, but looks like it's going to be the Chiefs and the Chargers. And the topic is that it's going to be a YouTube streamed game for free, and they're working on the final deal with YouTube to be the broadcaster for that one. I think it was Amazon last year. They're talking about making it into YouTube. So add one more place where you can try to find football.
And there's your
this
NFL
season.
Talk on a Monday morning.
Yeah, and then now we don't have to get to it again. And then the full schedule comes out on Wednesday. We will have our Linsider, our Padres athletic guest, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, will join us at 8:35 this morning. We'll talk about the weekend and everything else that's going on with the Padres. Look ahead to their homestand, which begins tonight. The Los Angeles Angels are in town, followed by the Seattle Mariners. You got the West Coast Showdown, the Vetter Cup coming up this weekend. Padres trying to remain quite good at home. They finally had a good road trip. They've been very good at home all season.
14-4?
Yeah, other than one series against the Tampa Bay Rays, which kind of came out of nowhere and got bodied. They've been exceptionally good at Petco Park this season, so they get a week to look ahead at home. Games against the Angels and the Mariners. We'll talk to Dennis Lynn, and we'll have all our regular features. Don't do this. Take on John. He has agreed to come over and fill in for Woods, so we'll have John Flint coming over from KSON at 8:20 to play Take on John, and our Rondo Report in the final hour of the show as well. We also have some extra tickets to give away to the Front Row Card Show that's coming up in Mission Valley later this month. If you are a sports card or comic book, autograph seeker, the collectibles, they're going to have a bunch of them at Mission Valley at this Front Row Card Show. We'll have tickets to give away later in the day today. So that's your menu for the program.
Yeah,
all right, you had a dilemma, you said?
That should be a big prize there. That card collection show actually sounds kind of fun.
Matt Strom is hoping to win that one.
Yes. Yeah Maddie. I just a few minutes ago actually got an email that I have a PayPal request.
Okay.
From Ibrahim. I don't know an Ibrahim, but he still found me and he requested some money. And he says, I'm experiencing a severe asthma flare-up, which is not good, and desperately need my inhaler. My prescription copay is $80, which I can't afford right now. I've been struggling to breathe for over 24 hours. This sounds serious. Is there any way you can help me access medication? And he requested $80.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't want this person to get really sick or anything.
I'm skeptical, Paulie.
You're skeptical.
I mean, it's possible. I know that there's definitely a variety of different healthcare plans, but he says he has insurance.
Yeah, so he just can't afford the $80 copay.
That's a large copay. I mean, I was looking online, and they say that most inhalers are capped at like $35. So right. You may be the victim of a phishing scam here, Polly.
Which I was actually a victim of bank fraud last week, so I probably should delete that.
But, you know, asthma is no joke. I had it when I was a kid, and you definitely have to be careful with, you know, the breathing, because when you stop breathing, it's a very bad thing. The oxygen is very important for
thank you
general
to the
living.
People in the chat letting me know that that's a scam.
Scam!
Thank you. This is why we asked.
Yeah, well, you know. All right, I'm ready to get to
it. Does
the
sound like something Woods might fall for.
I can't do this anymore. I'm ready to get to the Padres crap up. Even at a loss, we'll be better than this without Woods. So I think we did survive our first extended foreplay of the year. See how Woodsy does tomorrow. Hopefully he will be back. Got Pauly. You got Ben. We got 4 hours coming up for you on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. First, though, Woods and I would love to tell you about Trust and Will. If he was here, of course, he would love to tell you about Trust and Will. I will just do it on my own today. Actually had one of my colleagues at Channel 10 ask me about Trust and Will. He said, did you really go through the process? I said, I absolutely did. It was quite simple. Just answered some online questions. Took me about 20 minutes or so. And at the end, I had actual legal documents, a will and testament that they mail out to me, and I can put in my filing cabinet or safe or wherever you want to keep it, just in case something should happen to you. And then he asked, well, have you tested it? Have you used it yet? And I go, no. No, I have not used my actual will. So I won't know for sure if it's, you know, as legally binding as
do
they say.
Do you ever use your will, or do your descendants use your will?
I don't think you actually get to use your will. So I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to actually be able to tell you how well it worked at the end of the day, because I won't be around for that. But the idea is that you've got peace of mind while you're alive, and then your family will be protected and taken care of after you're gone with a will or with a trust, which can take your assets and help you keep your family out of probate court, which can be a lengthy, expensive process to distribute an estate, and usually costs about 3-7% of the estate in legal fees and can take 9-18 months to settle. Avoid that by going to trustandwill.com, fill out the questions, get your documents, and use the code FAN, F-A-N, when you check out, because you're going to get 20% off. They're already reasonable prices, which are way lower than a lawyer's office, and free shipping of your estate documents simply by going to trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus T&Cs apply.
Monday morning, Ben Higgins, Paul Reindel with you until 10 o'clock. Stephen Woods out with headaches. Hopefully, Woodsy feels better today and will return to the program tomorrow. Got our Padres crap up coming up here, Paulie. I want to stress, and I feel like this is important, especially in our role as hosts who talk about the Padres on a daily basis. I want to be very careful not to move the goalposts that we ourselves as a fan base established. So at the beginning of this road trip, we had a conversation. I remember it quite clearly, where we talked about what would be a successful road trip for the San Diego Padres. And all three of us agreed 6-3 would be a good target to set. That would be a very good road trip. It would get the Padres back home with a winning record on the road for the season after they had gone 3-3 and 2-4 on their first two road trips.
5-4, absolute minimum. 6-3, good.
I believe we even spelled it out specifically where you could do it in two different ways. You could take 2 out of 3 in all three series, including beating the Yankees, or you could sweep one of the two series against the lesser teams, the Pirates or the Rockies, take 2 of 3 in the other, and be okay just taking 1 of 3 in New York. Well, that is exactly how it played out. They swept the Pirates, took 1 of 3 in New York, took 2 of 3 at Coors Field against the Colorado Rockies, and ended up with a 6-3 road trip. It would be very, very disingenuous of us now to come back and go, yeah, I know we said 6-3 would be good, but man, you can't lose that game to the Rockies to end the road trip on a sour note like that. But you should have taken at least 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, if not all three. You had leads late in the game. Ultimately, pretty disappointed with that road trip. Should have been 8-1 or 9-0. That's moving the goalposts on the team. And I feel like that is an unfair thing to do when we clearly established when the road trip started. 6-3 is what you should really be shooting for, and that would be an admirable way to finish your road trip.
Yeah, the way it played out, I mean, you're not going to hear a whole lot of complaining out of me. And
good.
Touched on it in the last segment. It just kind of felt like Sunday's game, after the way the first two games in that series had went, you're like, man, let's just get home. Just get home safe. I saw a lot of positives on a gnarly 10-day, 3-city, 9-game road trip with ridiculous amounts of weather delays. I saw a lot of good that happened. We got two managers fired. I mean, that doesn't happen very often.
Generally, you're probably doing something right if two teams look like they're so outmatched that they can't even go on with their personnel as currently constructed.
You beat them down so bad that two teams on your 3-team road trip had to fire their manager. I saw guys like Jackson Merrill and Jake Cronenworth come back to the lineup and provide some offense. Like, that was great. And you went 6-3. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Now, was yesterday...
Hang on. Had they started 6-0, if they swept the Pirates and the Yankees and would have been on like a 9-10 game winning streak at that point,
we would be feeling pretty bad.
Then I'd be really upset with a 6-3 road trip, but it didn't work out that way.
It played out like we said. Was yesterday disappointing? Yes. Will we talk about some of the areas where the Padres came up short? Yes. And we will do that in our Padres crap up right after another check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
Oh, a
a shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
Crap Up,
presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
And Manny hits it on the ground up the middle to his left. Trejo collects it. Shortstop will throw to first in plenty of time. Hernando comes in to score, and the Padres take a 1-0 lead here in the first. DHing today. Swings at the first pitch, hammers it deep to left field on a line, and this one going to go. Three-run homer for Hunter Goodman, his sixth of the year. And the Rockies go in front for the first time this weekend. It's 3-1. And on the weekend, it's this one on a line to left field. Hayward over towards the line, dives, can't make the catch, and it bounces and rolls behind him. Beck has scored. McMahon is on his way. The throw comes into third base. Machado's tag, not in time. Two-run triple for Hunter Goodman, who's halfway to a cycle. And a 5-1 Rocky lead here in the third. Moniak swings, loops it into right field. That's a base hit. Goodman comes in to score as it rolls out to Fernando. RBI single for the San Diegan, Mickey Moniak. And now a 6-1 Rocky lead. Handed, swings to the first pitch and skies it into right field. Fernando came in. Now he's got to go back, fighting the sun on the warning track. He makes the catch. Plenty deep for McMahon to tag and score. A sack fly for Tolia, and the Rocky lead is now 7-1. It's 1-for-3 with an RBI single, and he knocks one fair up the first baseline. That'll get another run home. Goodman crosses the plate. Moniak trying for two. Fernando's throw, the tag by Bogarts, is not in time. RBI double, Mickey Moniak, his second hit of the day, and the Rockies in front now 8-1. And the pitch to Machado, lined into right field, that's a base hit. Wade is rounding third on his way, he'll come in to score. Moniak's throw goes into second base, an RBI single for Machado, and it's 8-3 here in the eighth. 1-0 pitch, McMahon hits it in the air, high and deep to right field. This one is way back and going on a home run. Number six for Ryan McMahon, now tied for the team lead. The pitch and a swing and a miss. Got him to go after a 102-mile-an-hour fastball and a 1-2-3 ninth inning for Halverson to close this thing out as the Rockies beat the Padres for the first time this year by a final score of 9-3.
We catch the ball well. We good at bats in the first. Toddie busting his tail down the line. We moves him over after he reads the ball in the dirt. And he, you know, nice situation hitting, gets him in, or up 1-0. And, you know, they're trying too, man. So with some good swings, they were more aggressive a little bit earlier, with Nick, and they put some swings on him, and, you know, they were able to get the lead, and we just weren't able to scratch back.
Yeah, I mean, the first inning was fine for the San Diego Padres. I mean, the top of the first inning, the bottom of the first inning was not.
They had
very
a great
good,
top of the first inning.
They had much better top of the first innings earlier in the series, but they did score a run in the top of the first inning, and it looked for a while like that might be the only one the Padres got yesterday as they dropped the final game of their road trip and three-game series in Colorado by a 9-3 score. Two phenomenal pitching performances. One, really, as good as you'll ever see at Coors Field by Steven Kolek on Saturday. Randy Vasquez was quite good on Friday. Surprise, it turned out to be Nick Pivetta, who's been one of the best starting pitchers in the National League, who really struggled badly at Coors Field. And if you had looked at the numbers, though, going into the game, it's not as shocking as it might sound, you know, just given the performance of those three guys this season. Because even though he pitched only four innings and allowed six earned runs to the Colorado Rockies, Nick Pivetta actually lowered his career ERA at Coors Field from 18.90 to something in the 17 range by getting through four innings in that game. He has been awful now. In four appearances at Coors Field, it has been an absolute nightmare for Nick Pivetta. And whether that is mental or whether it's something to do with how his stuff plays at Coors Field, probably a combination of both. It was just an ineffective performance by the guy who has been the most reliable starter so far this season for the San Diego Padres. Now, should they have known that was coming? I don't think you skip Nick Pivetta in the rotation because he had three bad outings at Coors Field in his career. 10 bad innings, essentially, going into that game. You'd think, okay, we got a different Nick Pivetta this year. He's throwing it lights out. We're not going to just not let him pitch at Coors Field. I would say going forward now, though, you might be hesitant. If there is an opportunity when the Padres make their second trip to Coors Field later this season and you're trying to decide how your pitchers are, you know, falling in sequence during that week, if Nick Pivetta doesn't happen to throw at Coors Field, I'm going to be okay with it.
How many games has he pitched there?
And now four,
okay,
I believe.
So relatively still kind of a small sample size.
I mean, you could always still turn it around, and you don't want him to feel like I can never pitch at Coors Field again. But
it's not like he's 0-12.
No, it's a small sample size. But as I think Mudd did a good job pointing out on the TV broadcast over the weekend, Randy Vasquez and Steven Kolek relied on pitches that four-seamers and sweepers that did not require as much of the the air going against the seams and the ball to be effective, whereas the two-seamer for Nick Pivetta and his slider really do require that sharpness that you can right. get at sea level, and his pitches aren't quite the same. The ride on his two-seamer was way down yesterday compared to his other starts. It had been riding 20 to 24 inches most days. It was only like 16. It's just way easier to hit when the ball is not moving the way it normally does, and I don't think that's Nick Pivetta's fault necessarily. That is the Coors Field impact on at least specifically that pitch that he relies on so badly. So I think going forward, there is a question as to whether if the Padres did have like a must-win game at Coors Field, I would be hesitant knowing his repertoire and how it plays in altitude to want to have Nick Pivetta on the mound for that game. It's not an indictment of Nick Pivetta. All pitchers have different stuff that plays differently in different parks. His stuff appears, and again, small sample size, Paulie, it doesn't play that well at Coors Field.
Yeah, I'm still supremely confident in Nick Pivetta and have no reservations that he's going to continue to pitch very well as he has all throughout the early part of the season. Was there any part of you yesterday? Because there was, I at least thought it, that maybe Nick Pivetta was still tipping pitches, because we did see that in his last start, or second to last start. We saw the John Boy breakdown against the Giants, right, where he was caught tipping pitches. They were able to see it from second base. When Ruben Niebla went out in the first inning and talked to him, and I just thought he was getting hit around, and I thought, I wonder if maybe he's still trying to figure something out.
I didn't notice the Rockies specifically signaling, and again, I'm not an expert in terms of picking up those kind of tells. The one batter where I was really thinking it, though, was when Mickey Moniak had his RBI single in the third inning on a curveball that actually was a really good curve. It was below the zone, and he waited on it and, rifled it into right field like he knew it was coming on that pitch,
yeah.
Mickey Moniak, who hasn't been a world beater at the plate, obviously.
Right.
That's why the Angels gave up on him earlier this season. He was picked up by the Rockies. Local kid. Hope he has a good career. But the fact that he seemed so comfortable with a pitcher's pitch that was below the zone, either he was guessing right or perhaps, Paulie, I think you bring up a legitimate concern that Nick Pivetta may still have a potential tipping issue that the Rockies may have picked up on and were somehow communicating to batters. It's not cheating. I'm not accusing the Rockies of cheating. But
we've now seen that at least a couple of times, one for sure this season with our pitchers. And I just thought, I wonder, because you don't typically see a whole lot of first inning visits from Ruben Niebla.
David Jamich said, Moniak didn't wait on anything. His bat's just that slow. And you get a speed up with a curveball. He was looking for fastball, and he's so slow that the curveball hit his bat. Could have been as simple as that, but it's something I would imagine Ruben Niebla is keeping an eye on just to make sure after the John Boy breakdown of Nick Pivetta's potential tipping of his pitches, and they will get that ironed out if that's an issue. I think it was definitely more of a Coors Field thing for Nick Pivetta than anything else yesterday. Offensively, I saw a lot of comments on social media. Wow, Padres just not bringing any effort at the plate in the game yesterday. Just swinging early, swinging at anything. What happened to the team that put up 21 runs on Saturday and 13 runs on Friday? Where did the offense go? I tend to think, and I want to give some credit to Germán Márquez. I know he was awful most of this season. Had an ERA near 10 going into the game, but we've also seen Germán Márquez in other years. He's not a horrible pitcher.
I've seen him dominate the Padres. Yeah.
And
dominate.
I thought for the most part he threw the ball pretty well. Padres hit a couple atom balls, didn't help, had some quick innings that really, I mean, you can say, well, they should have been more patient. He was filling up the strike zone. Threw 78 pitches, 54 of them were strikes. If you are just waiting on him, you are going to be falling behind in a lot of counts. So they tried to be aggressive. It's worked for the Padres so often this season. Hey, you see a pitch you can hit, if it's the first or the second pitch, go for it. They tried that, and they made a lot of quick outs in the game yesterday. He was not giving up the fly balls that he has been this year that have been the problem for Germán Márquez. He got a lot of ground balls. Even if some of them were hit fairly hard, gave up a bunch of ground balls. It worked out really well for the Colorado Rockies. And there just wasn't a lot to speak of in terms of positives for the San Diego Padres. I'm glad Manny Machado got his RBI single late in the game. He extended his hitting streak to 11 games in a row, and he remains red hot.
Locked in.
I surprised Woods and myself when I looked it up. Did you know that Manny Machado is leading the National League in batting? He's number one. He's the National League batting leader with a .324 average now.
He's second overall behind Judge?
And no, I think there's a couple of American leaguers who are ahead of him. Judge is one of them. There might be one or two others, but Manny is not struggling as some people may think. Manny is locked in. He's on fire right now. He got off to an okay start, and now
he's seventh overall. There's six
American leaguers ahead of him, but he's first in the National League in batting. Fernando Tatis is tied for second in the National League in batting with a .320 average, tied with Pete Alonso. So, you know, and you know, Tatis is first in WAR. The Padres are getting plenty of production out of their stars this year. You know, you can complain about Xander Bogaerts and, you know, another 0 for 3 yesterday after showing some signs of life. But for the most part, the Padres are getting enough to win a lot of ball games from the stars at the top of their lineup. And Manny Machado is locked in right now. It had a couple of RBIs again, hitting .324. Would you like to see more than 3 home runs?
Sure.
Sure.
Those,
you know,
come.
The only reason he's not hitting home runs, though, is because he is hitting the ball so hard on a line, and it's just not lifting. I would think that at some point, if he stays locked in like this, the ball will start going in the air a little bit, and he'll have a run where he hits, you know, 6 or 7 of them over the course of, you know, 10 or 11 days. And just like that, he'll be among the National League leaders in home runs as well. So
I don't know.
No concern for Manny at the moment.
I don't know what pace he's on, but I am pretty confident he's going to be at his 30 or right around, you know, 28, 29. He gets his 30 every year, and I'm not worried about this year either.
Well, he's also leading the National League in doubles right now with, I think, 14 of them. So, you know, that's extra base hits. That's slug right there. It's not home run slug, but it's slug. And, you know, he is driving the Padres offense, you know, as we speak. That's what they need Manny Machado to do. He is doing it. Does it look like it always, you know, looks with Manny? No, it looks a little bit different. In some ways, though, it's better. He's hitting for a much higher average than we usually see from him. He's getting more doubles than we usually see. The only thing that's really down with Manny right now is the home runs, and that's it. And, you know, that may be part of the Padres' overall strategy, working both sides of the field, going the other way. You know, you're not going to hit as many home runs when you go the other way, but it's generally working for the San Diego Padres. I wouldn't change a thing right now if I'm the Padres, if I'm Manny, if I'm Tatis. Even though you're not going to probably be a home run king this year, keep the offense the way it's going. And it didn't work yesterday, but more often than not, I think you're going to be able to put up a lot of runs. So, all right, we got through the loss. That's fine.
I still have some actual legitimate concerns. And it has to do with the bullpen.
Left field as well?
Yeah.
We'll get into that. Talk about Bud Black's firing after the game as well by the Colorado Rockies. That is coming up next. Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.